Welcome to the 50th episode of We're Only Human. I'm Melanie Eubanks, definitely Ben's better half. Thanks for listening to the show.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
It's hard to believe, but this is the 50th episode of We're Only Human. We started almost 3 years ago. We're still going strong. The podcast is one of those things that I love the most. Every time I'm interviewing a new guest or talking to someone about the podcast, I tell them that I love the medium because it allows me to share fun stories, interesting, you know, examples, things like that. Really, every interview that you hear me do is a fun moment for me because I am so passionate about the topics that we're sharing about that I can't wait to hear what they have to say, what they're bringing to the table. I love to, you know, share and educate them a little bit as well. So it's such a fun format, and I enjoy it thoroughly. If you listen to the podcast, obviously you are right now if you're hearing this, thank you so much for following, for sharing it, for subscribing, for making sure that your friends know about it. It's one of those things that I really appreciate as someone who takes the time to develop content and share those things out. The podcast is one of those things that I can't say it enough. I enjoy this. I have so much fun with it. It's one of those opportunities for me to just really give back and share some of those interesting ideas and things like that. Today's episode is going to be a very unique one, not like the normal conversations that you usually hear here. It's going to be a solo show. I'm going to give kind of an update on what's going on with the business, what's going on with our research, what's going on in the coming months, things that we're working on, things that I'm planning for, things that I'm excited about, both on a personal level and a professional level. And so hopefully you'll enjoy the conversation today. It'll be a conversation with myself, I guess, but you'll enjoy the things we cover. I appreciate you for listening. I appreciate you for joining me on We're Only Human. I am so thankful to have you as a listener, and I appreciate your time. However, before we get to the show today, I'd love to introduce you to some of the very special people in my life, and make sure you listen all the way to the end for the cuteness, bloopers, and outtakes. Hello, everyone. Welcome to We're Only Human. I am Ben Eubanks, your host. We're going to have an interesting, or unique, I guess, show today. It's going to be a solo show, and I haven't done one of those in a very long time. So just catching up on some key priorities and kind of wanted to share what's going on behind the scenes. Have lots of friends in the space and people in the industry that I know, love, and respect, and just really have a hard time catching up with everybody all at the same time. So I wanted to give everybody a chance to kind of hear what's going on and so on. So it's hard to believe that it's February already, but it is here. The team and I are actually doing some really interesting work, and I'm going to share some of those insights with you in just a moment so you'll hear what we're doing. But goodness, I'm having fun. I'm enjoying myself thoroughly and just having a really great time. Again, it's about to be travel season, conference season. I might be a little bit less perky next time I'm recording a show, but today, at least, it's been a really, really great day. Recording this on a Friday afternoon and about to go get the kids from school. Just enjoy a good weekend together. The weather's here is pretty nice in Huntsville, Alabama, where we are. So I actually had a funny, surreal moment this week. I was invited to come and speak to the local Rotary Club, of all things. My wonderful wife, Melanie, was talking to her dentist and mentioned that the book had come out, and he had already been kind of following along with that process and talked to me on and off. And I know he's a big reader, so he's like, oh, you know, give me Ben's number. He called me to come and speak to the local Rotary Club, which is funny because I speak all over the United States, occasionally outside the country, and this is the closest I've ever spoken to home, a 10-minute drive away to get there and share some of the things from the new book, Artificial Intelligence for HR, and also share with them some of the things that are going on around the future skills of work and the things that matter. And it was really just a fun conversation. It was really interesting to do that. And I don't know, I'm still kind of trying to wrap my head around what that's like, and being part of that group and being part of a local group of either business leaders or just being active in the local community, because even though I work from home in this city, I am relatively unplugged, other than the things the kids are connected to in terms of sports or in terms of school, things like that. So it was an interesting kind of experience. Actually, again, my wife has been my like PR agent, it feels like, this last week. She got me an interview with our local newspaper talking about writing the book, what that's been like, what it was like for the family. I made Melanie swear to say only nice things about that part of it, because it was definitely a stressful time getting the book together last year. but she had good things to say, and it was just a neat kind of experience. So that was fun as well. Like, on a personal note, I guess this is all kind of personal. Our kids, actually, our two older girls, are amazing at art. If you're connected on Facebook with us, you've probably seen my wife share some things out there. They are just really, really amazing artists. They love taking art class. And one of our good friends saw some of their work, and actually she'd written a children's story and has asked them to illustrate the book for her. And so we're having that conversation now, and it's so funny to think, you know, dad just published a book, has written this book, shared that out there, and then the kids are going to get a chance to be in that process at 8 years old versus 30-something where I am. So that was a really interesting moment for me to think about that. It's like the family business. We're all coming together on these things. Definitely the book process and everything else has been a family business, because I have the kids stuffing envelopes, teaching them some entrepreneurial skills, you know, get some work done and earn some money for it. They've definitely latched onto those things. And I've had employees over the years that didn't seem to make that connection that work equals money, even if they were, you know, sometimes 50 years old. They didn't kind of wrap their head around that. So I'm glad they're picking that up at an early age and understanding some of those things. We're actually talking about them doing some baking potentially for a live event that I'm running later this year here locally, and, you know, almost paying them as caterers to handle the desserts for the event, because they love to bake and help in the kitchen, and they can do some really, really amazing stuff. And I thought they'd been an interesting way to, again, teach them about the value they can bring to somebody else. It's really interesting to me. If you have kids, if you have nieces or nephews or anyone young but old enough to explain and understand some of these things, we've been having a lot of conversations lately about what it means to be a leader, what it means to have a boss, whether good or bad, and talk about those kind of experiences and interactions with people, what it's like being in the workplace and some of those things. And again, the girls are 8 years old. They're still very far away from the actual workplace, but the questions they ask are very intuitive and insightful, and they challenge me a little bit, asking me, you know, I tell them about a terrible work experience, just kind of joking about it, and like, well, why would someone do that? You know, I don't know. I never thought about it that way. Why would someone do that? What do they have to gain from that? And we just talk about what it means to be a good leader, what it means to be a good boss, the differences, you know, between just managing and putting your thumb on someone versus really encouraging and guiding and appreciating them and helping them develop. So again, maybe we should all be teaching our kids that on some level. I think there's probably some good benefits and payoffs down the road from having those conversations. One of the things that I'm really excited about is Disrupt HR HSV 2019. Almost said 2018. 2019 is on the calendar. Disrupt HR is an event that happens around the globe. I saw the numbers the other day, and I cannot remember. Something like 240 cities. I may be misquoting that, and if I am, I apologize to the Disrupt HR team. But 240 cities around the globe are doing Disrupt HR events, and they're very unique. You bring together a group of people, share 5-minute presentations on interesting and innovative things. Often this is a time for first-time speakers to get up and share their ideas and to speak for the first time. So there's a lot of fun to be had at these events. There's a lot of grace offered to the speakers, because the format is the Ignite format, where you get up for 5 minutes and you talk. The slides auto-advance every 15 seconds and you cannot control them. You have no clicker. You can't control them. They just move ahead, whether you're ready or not. So it's very nerve-wracking. I've done that format a couple times. It's fun, but goodness gracious, it is challenging for sure. We're actually planning that one in April this year. We had 150 people come to our first event last year, which completely blew me away. My goal was to break 100, and the number kept climbing until the night of. We had more than 150 people packed into that event, and 12 speakers, again, 5 minutes each. It was a really, really neat event, and we're excited about this year. If you are in driving distance of my voice, I guess everybody's driving distance when you're on podcast, but we're in Huntsville, Alabama. If you're in neighboring state or somewhere close by, or you're going to be in town, you know, around April 18th, we would love to have you come by, join us, hear what's going on. It's going to be a really, really interesting event. If you're a vendor, you're interested in sponsoring, supporting that event, partnering up with the most disruptive events in Huntsville, Alabama, just email me, hit me up on LinkedIn, search for Disrupt HR HSV 2019. You'll probably find us on Google there as well. I had a special moment earlier this week where the first book review has come in. I've had several reviews of the book, but they were worked through the publishing process, and so they are not listed on Amazon and the other review sites. So I actually had the first review come in on Amazon this week, and it was super kind, wonderful review, just a great set of insights and very heartwarming for me. I had the interview with a reporter this week. She was asking me, you know, what was that like to get the review? I'm like, goodness, it's hard to even put into words, but I know that I have friends. I know that I have, you know, colleagues around the world, near and far, and to see someone take the time to do something as simple as reviewing the book on Amazon is something that really just reminds me how blessed I am to do the work that I do and to know the people that I know. So it was a really special moment. If you've read the book, I would love for you to share a review. If you haven't read the book, come on, get on it. Have some fun. They'll tell lots of stories, some of them embarrassing, some of them fun, some of them, most of them insightful, some things to share and help you out, whether you're interested in AI broadly or not, or you just want to know what kind of skills you need for the future. The book is out there. So that was the longest lead-in I've ever done, probably, and this is completely unedited. My goal today is to not cut or edit anything. So my goal was to plan today, do a very short intro, and then do the title of it to be Compensation, Communications, and Conferences, because number one, I love alliteration, and number two, because those are the big things on my mind. As you can see, there's lots of other things on my mind, but I want to touch on those three things really quick. So first up, we are about to kick off the industry's biggest analysis of compensation technology. I want to talk to compensation professionals. If you do comp, if you know someone that's like your go-to comp person that you just, they're super sharp and they're a person you respect and look up to for that topic, please reach out to me or put me in touch with them, whatever you'd like to do, make an introduction, because we're going to do some research interviews as part of this. It is very low key. I will not be asking them to, you know, for the secret sauce or to identify the company, all anonymous, trying to understand what's going on out there, what the practices are though. We've actually, as a precursor to that, wrapped up a little research project we were doing where we were exploring how employers manage their compensation decisions after they change performance away from annual reviews. Right? We've all heard that performance is changing, less annual, we're getting away from the annual reviews. But the question always comes back, well, once we dump the annual review process, there's no more stake in the ground in December. How do we handle compensation conversation with employees? And our research has pulled some very interesting insights. The first thing is the most common way employers are making those decisions now, once they get rid of that, is that they are using manager discretion. They're actually allowing managers the opportunity to own a little bucket of money and decide within their budget how they're going to share that out. That's the most common way. Even though they're getting rid of the reviews, that's the way they're doing it. The second most common way is actually just going to a market rate. Companies, large companies, small, they say, hey, we're going to align with the market. That simplifies some things, right? It makes it where it's completely objective. You are at market rate and, you know, we'll do what we can to treat you well, but that is where you are. The problem with that is if you have a really high performer, sometimes that's hard to motivate them. And also if you have a position that's growing rapidly in the market in terms of the pay keeps going up because there's demand for that, then your pay is going to go up considerably for those positions, which could be a challenge for some employers or some types of roles. You know, if you're hiring cybersecurity people and that role doubles in salary over the course of 2 or 3 years because there's so much demand, paying market rate means you're going to align with that rate. And so that's going to be a challenge. Again, you probably have to anyway, but it's just a reminder there. So that's compensation, some of the things going on there. The second one is communications. In the last few years, I have run across some really interesting communications technologies, tools, things like that. When I worked in HR, I actually ran communications for our company. One of the funniest memories that I have from that, I took the job really seriously. It wasn't just about throwing information at people. My goal with every single thing I sent out, when I, you know, changed my address to communications at and hit a email out to all employees, my goal was to share something that was interesting and worth reading. Sometimes we had to share things that were not interesting. Sometimes we had to share things that were not worth reading. I freely admit that. But I always try to give people something interesting and worthwhile. So one of the things that popped in my head is when we'd send out the phone list one time, I was like, okay, this is the updated phone list. We had just changed around a lot of people, moved them around, and so the extensions all changed. It was a big deal because anyone using the old one was going to have a headache. So I sent out the email with our new updated phone list, and the title of the email, the subject, was just 8675309, and I barely refrain from singing that just now. But it was a reminder, and within that, I had the link to the video, of course, right? 8675309, the YouTube video, but also was talking about the changes and things. Always trying to make it relevant and interesting. So I love doing communications. There are now some really amazing tools out in the market for employers, mid-size, large employers. Some small employers use them, but typically it's mid-size and large. And the top-down communication needs have changed a lot over time. You're no longer just competing with other work stuff for people's attention. You're competing with social media and other types of things that are intruding on their time, their work time, their attention span. And so you need to create things that are quick, that are snappy, that get their attention, that get the information to them, and then help them to move on, that are targeted at the right time to the right people. You need to be able to measure the impact of those things. So with all those kind of things wrapped together, we have done research interviews with companies like Zinc and GuideSpark and Backstitch and the Employee App and several others that are in that list. I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. We've done several interviews with companies there. We've actually profiled all of them in this new research. The report is going live this week. If you're interested in that, you're curious about communications, or you're thinking about that stuff, the blog is at lhra.io for Lighthouse Research and Advisory, lhra.io. Get that free paper there on our blog, and you can check it out. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. We haven't dug into communications before, but it's an area I think we're going to start focusing on every single year because it's a thing that people need. It's a core component of how businesses operate and so on. And last but not least, conferences. I'll talk about the other two pieces. Conferences is the last one before we wrap up today. By the time you hear this episode, I will actually be heading to IBM's Think event in San Francisco. I'm really excited because they have some neat things planned. You know, every time IBM comes together, they try to use their different products to show off some of the things they're doing. And they do some really public human versus machine things. They did, you know, Deep Blue versus Garry Kasparov, the chess player. They did Watson versus Ken Jennings, the world's best Jeopardy champion. Next week, they actually have a champion debater going up against IBM Watson's debater tool, their new tool they're rolling out as a way to share that with the world. So I'm curious to see how that goes, how a human can debate against an AI-powered machine if the human can win. And regardless of what happens, it'll be an interesting sort of stake in the ground for that. Beyond that, the next week I'll be going to Recruiting Trends and Technology out in Las Vegas. That'll be interesting. I'm excited about that because I get to do some of my analyst thing, get to talk to some interesting vendors out there, see what's going on. If you're going to be there, again, hit me up. I'd love to chat while I have some time there. Also, I'm leading a session or going to participate in a panel on whether technology makes recruiting more human or less human. One of the things that came out as I was writing the book last year and researching the book is that so much of the technologies have the opportunity to pull the humanity out of everything. But the downside of that is that you get a negative kind of robotic kind of experience as an employee. That's not something anybody wants. So I have the belief that we can create more personalized, more human experiences at work with technology if we approach it the right way. So I'll be sharing my insights on that next week. I have some points on both sides of the aisle, but I'm definitely an optimist there, and I think we can do that the right way. So I'm really, really pumped about that. And then last but not least, early in March is the next thing on my agenda after that. I'll be running some HR hackathons and workshops at the Human Capital Institute People Analytics Conference. So lots of fun stuff going on, lots of really interesting events. I'm so excited to be there. And if you're going to be at any of those things, please ping me, let me know. I'd love to meet you in person, give you a high five. And in real life, yes, I'm still a high fiver. I'll do the fist bump, but a high five is what my kids love, so I'm going to stick with that. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are wrapping up here. Just want to point out a couple things. We have some new research coming out soon on everything. Oh, goodness, we've been so busy over the wintertime, hunkering down, get some research done. So we have everything coming out. I mentioned the compensation piece. We're about to do a big study on compensation technology. We have a study coming out on workplace sentiment and engagement, how people feel at work. We surveyed 1,000 North American workers to see what their insights are. Some really intriguing things come out of that in terms of how men and women feel, in terms of how people feel based on their age group, things like that. We're actually working with a partner right now to to create a vendor database of engagement technologies. I'm excited to share that once that partnership is fully baked. We're working through the details now on that. And then lastly, my research team is actually covering things like interviewing technology, diversity technology. They're sharing some interesting insights coming up on the blog. We're working through sharing some of those things out there as well through that channel. So it's just really good stuff. If you're not subscribed to the website, go there, do that, lhra.io. You can subscribe in the footer probably or on any of the blog pages. We'd love to make sure and share with you as those blogs are coming out and sharing some of the articles and research we're doing because it's just really, really interesting stuff. We've been about to start a new project that I honestly have been thinking about for 5 years and have never pulled the trigger on. This highlighting some of the key HR leaders behind the biggest brands that we all know and love. So thinking about, you know, the car you're driving, the food you're eating, the places you're going, where you're shopping, who are the HR leaders that are helping to drive value for those companies? I'm curious about that, and we're going to start sharing and highlighting some of those people. So it's going to be a ton of fun. I hope you've enjoyed the conversation today. It has been all over the place. This is, if you ever have a sit down one-on-one with me, this is what you could probably expect. It's just a little bit of everything, a little bit of a squirrel moment, but again, there's a lot of good stuff going on. I don't want to take anything off the agenda. So hopefully you've enjoyed the conversation a little bit, hearing what's going on here. I'd love to know what's up with you. Is there a piece of the research you're interested in? Anything else? We share all of our research freely. We don't charge for that. So if you want to check those things out, we're happy to share that with you. Feel free to reach out to me at any time through the website, and we can help you out. Thank you for joining me on today's episode. We'll catch you next time on We Are Only Human.
Hey, you know how in your favorite like TV shows and movies, they'll hide Easter eggs and they're like special surprises? Well, this is the Easter egg for you. If you listen this far, you get to hear from my kids for a little bit. If you're curious, interested, want a little bit of cuteness, or goodness, you just need something else to occupy your time. So each of the kids spent about a minute with me. I asked them a couple questions, and as you can tell, they're not as talkative just yet, but they'll get there. So anyway, wanted to introduce them to you. Obviously, I had Melanie, my wife, to the intro today, and you'll hear a little bit of an outtake with her as well. Trying to get her to talk into the microphone, and she was not a fan of that at first. So anyway, just wanted to give you guys a little peek into the life behind the microphone, and wanted to thank you again for listening.
All right, so since this is the 50th episode, I thought I'd do something fun, different, interesting. Bring on a special guest today. What's your name, buddy?
I'm Elijah Briggs.
Elijah Briggs? We call you Briggs around here, don't we?
Yeah, and some people tell me Elijah Briggs.
Some people call you Elijah Briggs? What does that girl at school call you? She call you a cutie? Call you a cutie? No, she calls you Briggs. Okay. So, Briggs, what kind of job do you want to have when you grow up?
I want to put out fires and save cats and do all kinds of teams.
So put out fires? Really? That'd be really cool.
And save cats and save people from the buildings and spray out files.
Oh, okay. Very cool. I'd love for you to do that. I know that's something that you're excited about. What do you think about Daddy's job? What does Daddy do?
You sit by me.
I sit by you? That's what you want me to do. What is my job now? What do I do?
Well, do different types of stuff.
Different kinds of stuff? Yeah, anything that you know?
What? And clean up.
I work and clean up. Okay. Well, that's a pretty good job. It's pretty important, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It's important to our family. Well, I love getting to do my job, but the hard part is when I have to go away on trips and stuff like that, right? So whenever you miss me on a trip, all you got to do is play this back, and you can hear us talking together, and you can remember the day that we sat together and recorded a show. Does that sound good? I love you, bud.
I love you, too.
We are going down the line here, and right now I have with me number one in the family. What's your name?
Bella.
Bella. Bella, you are my older twin, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to have you on because this is actually the 50th episode of the show. And I just told you that and you said, what show? So apparently I'll get a better job marketing inside the house, sharing with the family what's going on at work. So Bella, when you grow up, actually, how old are you?
8.
You're 8 years old. It's pretty cool. Okay, when you grow up, no comment. When you grow up, what do you want to be?
An artist.
An artist. Why?
Because it's fun and I like art.
You like art. How does it make you feel when you're doing art?
Good.
Good.
Good. Okay.
You're a woman of few words. Okay, what do you think, can you describe my job? What do you think I do?
I think you write books.
Write books?
About your job.
Write books about my job?
Yeah.
Okay. That's an interesting approach there. If you had my job, what would you do?
I don't know.
You don't know. Okay. Very cool. Anything else you want to say?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks for coming on, Bella. I appreciate it. Okay, moving right along. I just had a conversation with one of the other kids. Now I have number two here with me. What's your name?
Bree.
Welcome, Bree. How old are you, Bree?
8.
You're 8. You're my second twin, my younger twin. How much younger are you than Bella?
8 minutes.
8 minutes? Does she ever remind you of that?
No.
That she's the oldest?
No.
Bella never says I'm the oldest?
No, because I already know that she's the oldest.
You already know that she's the oldest. Okay. All right. So, Bree, when you grow up, what do you want to be? What do you want to do?
An animal doctor.
An animal doctor. You want to be a veterinarian, a vet?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We know a really good vet that we take your cats to, right?
That's why I want to be a veterinarian, because I want to see kitty cats.
Because you want to see cats and you want to be a cat doctor?
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. It's going to take a lot of school. We're going to have to start saving up for college right now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. But if that's what you want to do, this is exciting. You think that'll make you happy to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So what do you think I do? What do you think my job is?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure?
Yeah, not sure.
What are some of the things that I have to do for my job?
Work.
Work? Okay. What else?
Go on trips.
Go on trips. Go travel. Uh-huh. Okay. All right. I'm always curious to hear what you guys think I do, because someone asked your mom the other day, and she wasn't sure. She couldn't answer them. She kind of laughed about it because they asked her what I do, and she's like, So, I'm always curious what it is from your perspective. What do you think it means to be a good leader at work? We talked about, having a boss, you know? What do you think about that? You know, we told you some stories about good leaders and bad leaders and things like that. What do you think it means to be a good leader?
To, do a good job, at your job and,
To do a good job, but what about the people that work for you? If you were in charge, how would you be a good leader?
Pay them good.
Pay them well? Okay. What else?
And help them whenever they're new.
Help them when they're new. What do you think they might need help with?
What to do.
Helping them, teaching them, those kind of things. Okay. Well, thank you, Bri. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you.
All right. So I have been working to get Melanie to do an intro. The kids are easy. She's a little more self-conscious because adults, we've been trained to do that. So she's apparently been scarred from recording herself. Say something so we know you're going to be okay.
Hello.
Okay. There you go. nothing hurts. You're not bleeding. Why aren't you scared of being recorded? Seriously. Tell me. I'll tell your story for you. I've already told the very first podcast episode. I told the story about when you were in labor with our son, and I made a comment about how that contraction couldn't have been that bad, mm-hmm. because I was reading the little readout on the chart, and that was I always tell that embarrassing story about myself, so you have no reason to be
embarrassed. And the second time you pointed out my... gray hair, my one gray hair. Thank you.
Yes, yes. I'm so proud of those moments. That's what makes me the best host in the world. So I was so pumped to have everybody do a little bitty piece of this, because this is the 50th episode of the podcast, right? I'm so pumped about it. It's been a lot of fun. I'm sure you've listened to all episodes. You don't have to answer that right here. But I can see in your face that you're an avid listener and subscriber. So this week, I had a special moment. I actually talked about it in the podcast. I had a special moment where you actually reached out to a reporter on my behalf to set up a meeting so they could hear about the book and everything else. And I just wanted to tell you in front of everybody, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
What is the book about?
Artificial intelligence.
For who?
For HR.
There you go. See? You didn't have to read it, and you've already got it all down.
I'm still waiting on the Cliff Notes version.
I'm working on that. We're close. Thank you for recording your voice, okay? No one was harmed in the making of this production, and I appreciate you being willing.
You know where to send my paycheck.
Thank you for listening to We're Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.